The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Statmiller, with you on this Tuesday, already the 8th day of May 2018. And I asked Mike Rivero to spend a few minutes with us to clarify. I've seen the reports. Last report we have on lava flows in Hawaii is that they're slowing down, but there's 12 fissures, little cracks that this lava is oozing up through. And I just wanted to get a firsthand account from the only man that I know that lives down in the Hawaiian chain. Hello, Michael Rivero.
Hello, John. And I don't know how firsthand my reporting can be because I live on the island of Oahu. And on a really clear day, I can see the tips of the big island sticking up over the horizon. But obviously, I've been following the story the same as you. I've been spending a lot of time at the website for the Hawaii Volcanoes Observatory looking at the tilt meter data. And it does look like things may be slowing down a little bit. The rate of the small earthquakes is in decline. And looking at the tilt meter data, the rate of deformation of that East Rift Zone is starting to slow down. It had been accelerating. Now it's slowing down, and that's mostly because the lava that was underneath pushing up that rock is now flowing on the surface of it. So it's looking good at the moment, but this is going to be really weeks, if not months, before it's finally over. And, of course, for all those people in Leilani Estates, they've lost everything. There's no such thing as volcano insurance. They still technically own the land, but it's covered with lava that will take years to cool to the point where you could even think about maybe building on it.
Mm. Well, and now this is on the main island, correct?
The big island, yes.
Yeah, Hawaii. And that's where, okay. So did you actually feel the earthquakes over on Oahu?
For some reason, well, we were in our car driving, so we missed the 6.9 one. We felt a few of the stronger ones up here, and I'm able to read more of them with this homebrew seismograph I put together. But so far, we haven't seen any real harm come to Oahu. The wind is fortunately blowing the plume of volcanic gas off to the southwest, and our island, Oahu, is northwest of the Big Island. So we're sitting right between the end of Hawaii that's on fire and the end of Hawaii that was flooded.
You know, I got to say that, Michael, this is, it's fascinating to watch this. It's a natural disaster, if you want to classify it, but it's slow rolling natural disaster to watch this lava, you know, encroach, and there's a crust on top of it, then you'll see the red underpinnings of it. And I was watching a video today that was on the news, and there was a gate that this was pushing up against, and it pushed open the gate like somebody had opened it up. There was somebody that's 10, 15 feet away taking pictures in a parked car along a roadside. You know, and it's just fascinating to see that. And most people, they realize that Hawaii is nothing but the tip of pretty much one gigantic big volcano down there. And yes. This is going to occur, but this has been the biggest eruption, from what I understand, since 1955.
Yeah, this is the biggest eruption and the biggest quake since 1975. It's still possible we could get more large quakes and that they could cause other problems like ground subsidence or a landslide either at or below the surface of the ocean, in which case we would get a tsunami. And the quake in 1975 did generate a tsunami, so there's a little bit of concern on that. Part of the problem, part of the area where the U.S. Geological Survey is paying attention, is what is called the rift zone, because there's actually a big crack that runs across the southern flank of Kilauea. And in the past, all of the land below that crack has actually slipped a little tiny bit. In November of 2000, it slipped about 10 centimeters all at once. Now, that doesn't sound like much, but it does indicate that that whole land burden is very fragile. And if that were to collapse into the ocean all in one chunk, there would be serious problems, not just for Hawaii, but for pretty much everywhere in the Pacific Basin.
Now, I'm looking at the Hawaiian Islands, and there's, what, a total of 8 of them. From the eastern tip of the main island to, I don't even know how to pronounce this, Niihau?
Niihau.
Niihau? Okay.
Niihau. There's a glottal stop in there.
And what is the breadth of this? How many miles are we talking about from tip to tip?
Well, the state of Hawaii technically goes all the way from the Big Island out to Midway Island. So my apology to the Texans, but we're actually the longest state in the union.
Okay.
Right. And I forget the exact number offhand. Oahu is about 250 miles away from the Big Island, depending upon which part of the Big Island that you're talking about. And another reason why we're not feeling the big quakes is that magma is a poor conductor of seismic energy. We had another earthquake a few years back that was actually smaller on the Big Island, but was over on the Kona side, and it rattled us pretty good. We lost our electricity for a couple of days.
Now, before I let you go here, you have been following Fukushima. This is bigger than Chernobyl ever was, 3 Mile Island combined. What's the latest on Fukushima and the radiation that's spilling out in the Pacific down there?
There's nothing they can do to stop it. And I've started taking daily radiation readings again, and they're starting to trend upward, not to dangerous lethal levels, but it is out there. Claire and I won't eat the local seafood anymore because we don't know what's been contaminated. Now, they still can't get robots in there that will survive the intense radiation, but they did manage to get a manual camera on a pole, a big long pole down in there into the interior of reactor number 2, and they can still see all the melted radioactive fuel just all over the walls. They're just going to have to let it sit until it naturally cools. We're talking hundreds of years before they can get in and even begin to clean it up. They're trying to keep the fuel rods cool with water. They don't know what to do with the water. The ice wall isn't working out. And so, yeah, it's just going into the Pacific Ocean.
Well, they're pulling the water out of the ocean to cool the core, but the water's going right back into the ocean, correct?
Well, they tried storing as much of it as they could, but they've simply run out of room. And if you get into Google Earth and you go over and look at the reactor site, you're going to see just hundreds and hundreds of these giant water storage tanks or boxes, and they've simply run out of room. So at this point, yeah, they're just dumping that water back into the Pacific Ocean, and they're hoping that it will dilute enough where it's not a threat to the rest of the Pacific. But obviously, if it goes on long enough, there's going to be an issue.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming on the broadcast. You're pretty well isolated. You're out there in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And to the people that live in the Hawaiian chains down there, island life is happy, but, you know, it does cause some problems in case of evacuation or you needed to do something. But in the immortal words of one line out of the movie Jaws, it's only an island if you look at it from the water.
Well, it can be a very pleasant place, and let's be honest, anywhere you live, there are going to be issues. In Southern California, it's earthquakes. Down in Florida, it's hurricanes. Up in the Midwest, it's tornadoes. We all choose to accept the risks of living where we live.
Absolutely. Well, Michael, I appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You're very welcome.
Okay, thank you, sir. You know, I couldn't resist. It's only an island if you look at it from the water. It just fascinates me. I've always wanted to see Hawaii, but if you look at a little map, those are little tiny little islands in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and Yeah, it's isolated. It certainly is that. Well, I appreciate him coming up. I wanted to get an update from him because, well, they get the news about all the stuff that affects the islands down there. So pretty good news. 12 fissures in the latest opening here, and it looks like it's slowing down. So Mother Nature has, well, I once heard a geological guy say, you know, these small these volcanic actions, just look at it this way. There's gas buildup and... Well, it's like Earth taking a fart. And I'm, that came out of an... kid you not. At any rate. All right. Before I get into anything today, Donald Trump, I'm going to cover this before the end of the program. He has pulled out, and it's not even the expiration of the Iran deal that had multiple signatories to it. Germany, France, United Kingdom, United States... Trump is, well, he slammed the door shut, but he reopened it. I watched his speech today. United States is going to pull out of the Iranian deal. And there were no provisions. When Obama set this thing up, there were no provisions for the U.S. to go in and do any inspections. But the Atomic Energy Agency was allowed on the ground for inspections and have been there in Iran. Now, he did something that Ronnie Reagan once did when talking about Russia, you know, the evil empire. It wasn't the people of Russia that were bad. It was their government. Well, he did the same thing today with Iran, that they are the center and supplier of terrorism throughout the Middle East. And I'm sitting there, and I'm watching him speak the words. But we know the history of Iraq. 1953, almost 65 years ago. The CIA toppled the government, the lawful, legally elected government in Iran, and they had to get rid of Mogadishu. I mean, they just had to dump him. He was not taking part. He wasn't receptive to commercial offers being made to Iran, so they pulled him out, destabilized things, pulled him out, and put the Shah of Iran in there. Well, the Shah was nothing more than a step infection from the United States, and the people of Iran knew it. But it took many years of frustration and anger, and it finally surfaced, and they had their little rebellion, and the great Ayatollah Khomeini came in as the leader of Iran. Now, there's a problem here, because Russia is not going to let the United States go after Iran any more than they're going to allow the United States to go after Syria, and there's been some very interesting developments on that front, which we'll get into if we have time later. But he's pulled the plug on the agreement, and not renegotiating the agreement. It was rotten to the core, so he has cut the ties with that, and there's going to be, I think in his words, quoting him, there is going to be unbelievable sanctions placed against Iran. Now, I'm hearing the rhetoric. Oh, they've got nuclear weapons. Oh, they're close to nuclear weapons. I don't think that's the case any more than Syria's Assad was gassing his own people. So the rhetoric is continuing. But if Iran takes a look at the Trump cabinet now, John Bolton, hey, he's all for preemptively going in and laying waste to anything that they remotely consider being a threat. If you take a look at his cabinet, it's the walking with a humongous stick, walking softly, but a humongous stick, and he threatened Iran today, but he also left the door open for negotiations. If Iran wants to get on board, renegotiate a deal, I'm sure that things can be rosy for Iran. Well, we'll see how that plays out. The way it looks right now, it's not good. Israel, they want their continued wars by proxy through the U.S. to continue. And now they're starting to get a little bit antsy. Press TV, an example here, an Israeli minister said Tel Aviv could topple the government of the Syrian president Bashar al-Assad in response to any attack by Iran against the occupying regime. The occupying regime being that of the duly elected government in Iran, I might add. Hinting that the Syrian leader himself might be targeted for assassination. If Assad allows Iran to turn Syria into a military vanguard against us to attack us from Syrian territory, he should know that would be the end of him, the end of his regime. And this is according to Yuval Stinnetz, the Minister of National Infrastructure, Energy and Water Resources, in an interview with the Hebrew Press news portal, rather, Ynet, on Monday. When asked whether his remarks meant the regime might assassinate President Assad, Stinnetz, who is also a member of Israel's Ministerial Committee on National Security Affairs, uttered that his blood would be forfeit. The Israeli minister, however, appeared to suggest that his comments did not represent Tel Aviv's policy, adding, "I'm not talking about any concrete proposal." The text story of Steinitz's interview with Ynet had quoted him as explicitly saying that Israel's regime would murder Assad, but this was not born out of a video clip of the interview. Iran, Syria's strong ally, has been giving Damascus military advisory assistance in its countrywide counterterrorism battle since a foreign-sponsored militancy unleashed in the Arab country in 2011. The Iranian government has repeatedly said that only the Syrian people can decide the future of their country and the political fate of its leader. And that, let me read that again. The Iranian government has repeatedly said that only the Syrian people can decide the future of their country and the political fate of their leader. Well, I find that rather odd because that's not in agreement with the United States policy. They want Assad gone. And who are we to interfere? And we know the whole project for a new American century, toppling the seven countries in the Middle East. We know this. And this is a sovereign. Syria is a sovereign nation. Iran is a sovereign nation. Iraq was a Syrian. Same with Libya. They were all sovereign nations. So for the United States, and this is arbitrarily their decision, they try not to move unilaterally. They like to have their buds and pals in the so-called coalition. But there is a reason why France and the United Kingdom and Germany did not want to pull out of this Iranian agreement, because there was enough meat there. And I'm not suggesting for one moment that any deal can't be strengthened, but to walk away from it and pretty much threaten Iran. Sanctions, ladies and gentlemen, is kind of an act of war if you take a look through history. It's just not shooting up their property or a ship at sea or attacking inside of its sovereign border. It is also actions and sanctions put against that country. So, you know, we should divest ourselves from the Middle East. We've spent enough time and money, spent blood, and really nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, has been made whole over there. It's in tatters. Trump today wished the Iranian people well, that they have a rich and deep culture, what's left of it. And if it goes to war, it'll look like anything else over there. It'll look like Iraq. It'll look like Syria. It'll look like Libya. Just absolutely devastated and leveled. So United States, with its moral high ground, is deciding the fate of Iran. And this is the first step. Now, there have been saber rattlings coming out of Israel. And again, I want to remind people that there is an ongoing rolling agenda for the greater state of Israel. And they plan on taking a whole lot more territory, more than what they have taken from the Palestinians. This is big-time game for Israel, and they plan on not losing it. But again, ladies and gentlemen, this is none of our damn business. They never presented a threat to the United States. There were commercial elements in there and commerce that kind of went sideways. These countries over there with their riches don't want to convert to a funny money system. They understand the evils of it, and they're staying away from it. So all things considered, they're not interested in having McDonald's on their street corners and XXX movie theaters on the next block. They don't want to have our form of democracy, and they don't like our values, and they sure as hell don't like our money. We'll see how this plays out. I think Trump is rattling a saber here. I don't think he's going to attack Iran. But again, folks, foreign policy from coming from the federal government, take your best guess and flip a coin, and you still may not get it right.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
I see you, my friend, and touch your face again. Miracles will happen as we dream. But we're never gonna survive unless we get a little crazy.
Unless we get a little crazy. If things aren't crazy enough, it might take more crazy to correct a nutso situation. I just love choices, don't you? Somebody had sent this to me, and it came from lewrockwell.com. And I had to watch it twice, just to make sure. You know, sometimes you see things, and you go, okay, well, I think I know what that... wait a minute here. Let me take a second look at this. And Lou Rockwell writes, Dale Steinrich, in the land of the free, beware of pocketing merchandise even after openly paying for it. Let the clerk bag it and always get a receipt. Items like a $2 roll of Mentos aren't worth getting shot over. This is the reality today with large numbers of vigilant inquisitors roaming the countryside. Everything looks like a nail, so thus it has to be hammered. Here is the actual... video. It's the audio portion of the video that was taken in the store. And this was Jose and Jacqueline Areola. And he and his wife were driving to a club about 10 p.m. on Friday when they pulled into a Chevron station on Beach Boulevard in Buena Park to use the ATM. And her guy's wife said, hey, can you buy me some Mentos? Well, these Mentos almost cost him his life.
So I walk in, grabbed $60 out of the ATM. I went, I saw some Mentos, grabbed them, and I put them on the counter, and I gave the cashier $20.
Oh, you. I thought you.
How much are these?
$119.
So, as he's getting my change, he already gave me the loose change. As he gets my change, I grab the Mentos and put it in my left, the jacket pocket. And as soon as I put it in my pocket, then I hear someone behind me with a loud voice say, I'm a police officer. Take that out of your pocket.
Hey, he's about 15 minutes
to police officer. Oh, I... Now, understand what's going on here. The guy's at the counter facing the clerk. The off-duty cop is standing roughly 4 to 5 feet behind him at about his 7 o'clock position. And the cop looks up and sees him stick a product in his pocket that he has already purchased. Now, understand something here. If this were what the cop thought it was shoplifting, the guy isn't in there shoplifting the mementos with a weapon or a knife or a threat of violence. This was a straight-up business deal. The guy just wanted a roll of mementos for his wife. But what does the cop do? Pulls out his weapon and points it at the guy. I'll continue.
Put it back. Police officer.
I just paid for this.
Put it back. Oh. Try stealing that.
No. I just paid.
Get your cash and leave. Hey, get your cash and leave.
I just paid.
Now, he told the guy to take his cash and leave after just accusing him of committing a crime. And that was enough justification for an off-duty police officer to pull out his Billy Bad Butt weapon, point at the guy, and threaten him with violence. If you haven't noticed, folks, that's what a weapon, when it's pulled out and pointed at you, that's the inference. Impending violence in a very bad way.
Did he pay for this?
Yes.
He paid for it?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
My apologies.
Oh, my apologies.
I go, I just paid for that. So I'm trying to explain to him that I just paid for that. And he was just so adamant about, you know, treating me like a criminal. I didn't feel like initial fear. I felt more like anger. Because nowadays we see all these videos on Facebook and, you know, about, you know, cops mistreating people. And that went through my mind. It's like, are you serious? I mean, this is happening right now? And so it made me mad. At the same time, it scared me because I thought, this guy can shoot me. And what if my wife's in the car and, you know, so I thought, like, you know, my wife could be a widow after tonight. Like, in that moment, it was just like a heated, and he was so arrogant and, you know, almost like cocky, you know, because he holds a badge, because he's a cop. I just felt anger, most of all.
Well, anger. and the programming is working on people. Because the course here is intimidation of people. Just flat out, in your face, intimidation. There was nothing in this recorded, and I'm sure there would have been a different story if it had not been recorded, complete with audio. It wasn't until the guy was told to leave, take your change and leave, did the off-duty cop ask the proprietor of the gas station, did he pay for that? And the proprietor says, yes, he did. Wow. So gun in your face, intimidation. Accusation. Oh, I'm sorry. No, you really are sorry. And you shouldn't be a cop. Let's take the break. We'll be back.
Yeah. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I am going to play Mr. Trump's address talking about getting out of the Iran deal. Now, Sean Hannity on Fox News, this is only 3 minutes long, and it'll set up. This was before Trump had decided or actually made his address that he was going to pull out of the Iraq deal. Now, Sebastian Gorka, now he's supposedly a national security strategist, and he came out of the retired CIA senior intelligence official, Daniel Hoffman. And they gave their 2 cents on what they think about pulling out of the Iran deal. This thing is just sitting here spinning, Mike. Hold on here a second. Rather fascinating that this does this. Can you do me a favor? Can you go up on foxnews.com and and show clips, see if it'll play on your computer. FoxNews.com. I'm sorry? Okay. All right. Fine. Just go to show clips at the top banner there. Right at the top. The banner across the top, Mike. Show clips. It says watch live, news clips, show clips, Fox News Radio. Okay. You don't take a look at the page. Come here. Take a look at the page I've got. Oh, you got it now. Okay, great. All right, show clips should be Mr. Gorka and Mr. Hoffman. Do you have it? Here, just come here a second. This is what it looks like right here. 3 minutes and 23 seconds. And listen, this is important because you're going to hear the rhetoric supporting pulling out of the Iran deal. I don't think that's the clip, Mike. Is that it? Okay, great. Go ahead, play it.
Miscellaneous items. And we wanted to be careful on the energy markets that we had an orderly transition away from.
You're double feeding two videos.
So essentially, retired CIA senior intelligence officer, Sonoran Policy Group, Vice President Daniel Hoffman, number one, Gina Haspel is an American hero. And those that have smeared and slandered her, we don't get the courier without KSM being waterboarded, and we don't get bin Laden. So this slander has to stop. She would be a great CIA director, Mr. Hoffman.
I couldn't agree more. Okay, I served with Gina for many years.
Pause that for just one second.
Highly-
Osama bin Laden? You mean the guy that was already dead? This is the narrative that's been carried for so many years, that Osama bin Laden was out there causing chaos and heading up terrorist groups and strikes against the U.S. The guy died years ago of kidney failure. But it was convenient for the CIA and their operatives and their handmaidens, the news, to keep carrying that narrative. Just thought I'd point that out. Just for the sake of factual information. Go ahead, Mike.
She's got a tremendously high level of intellectual honesty and integrity and dedication to our mission. The people at the agency think the world of her. She's had all the experience. And listen, for the past 15 months, she's been deputy director. That's a tremendous audition for this administration. They know what they're getting. We do, too. She's the right choice, and I just hope that the Congress does the right thing and confirms her.
Dr. Gorka, I know Ed Henry just reported that maybe the president wants to throw a bone to our allies. The one thing people don't seem to understand about President Trump, he keeps his promises. He keeps them all. I expect, I don't have a crystal ball. I have no insight. My guess, he pulls us out of that horrific deal, and John Kerry's conduct has been despicable and disgusting, and we had two lawyers tonight say he violated the Logan Act.
Yeah, this is, I know it's shocking for most people that this is a politician who keeps his promises, but that is Donald Trump. He's wanted to kill the Iran deal for 2 years now. I expect there's not going to be any pulled punches tomorrow. We've had basically 8 years under Obama of what? Treating our enemies like Iran as friends.
Bribery of dictators.
Enemies.
And
underscore
Sean,
enemies.
It was very easy. For 8 years, our enemies were treated as friends,
and
like Iran, given boatloads of cash. And our friends, like Israel, were treated as enemies. That has all stopped. We're moving the embassy to Jerusalem. We're recognizing it as the capital of the eternal state of Israel. And the Iran deal has to be killed. It has to be shot in the head because it is bad for America.
Wow.
It's bad for the world, and it's bad for our friends.
Well said. You know, with all the talk about foreign interference in elections, we all forget, Daniel Hoffman, we all forget that Obama worked hard to defeat Benjamin Netanyahu, the person with more moral clarity, with more strength on the world stage than any other leader besides now Donald Trump.
Killed us before I put a bullet in its head. How can you have moral anything in the same sentence with Benjamin Netanyahu? I am rather fascinated by that. Wow. We'll open up the phones today as well, 800-313-9443. Mike, just tell me who the caller is, and I'll put him up immediately. Mark in Georgia. Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
I was wondering, I'm confused about something. The front sight thing, was that over on the 5th of May? Because it's after that, and I still have the advertisements. Am I confused?
Yeah, you are, because we're announcing when that ad plays in the bodies of the shows on RBN, rather than pulling that ad, because it's, well, quite frankly, if you could turn however you're listening to the program down on your end, because I'm getting feedback there. Mark?
What you're hearing is the seatbelt beep beep thing going, okay. Hey, you need to strap in your seatbelt.
Okay.
That's done. Yeah, I'm driving my brother's Prius, and the good news is in about a month or so I'm going to be getting my inheritance finally, and I'm going to be setting up a 508 church organization, but that's a whole different kettle of fish.
Okay, well let me answer the question that you asked. There was some confusion on that, and the ball was dropped. It was supposed to be for 90 days, and it was only run, and it was run in that the body of the ads that are on the network, that it was going to stop last Friday at midnight. Well, it was supposed to run to June 2nd at midnight.
Okay.
So we've reminded all the talk show hosts that when you hear the ad play in the body of your show, just remind folks that it's not May 4th, it's actually June 2nd at midnight that the offer ends.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I hope I get my inheritance before then, because that sounds like a deal.
Well, it's a deal. As a matter of fact, you may want to call Dan Sutterfield on this and talk to him, because it sounds to me like timing might be sensitive. You may want to talk to Dan about this.
Yeah, the law firm said 4 to 6 weeks as an estimate, but, they're not going to delay things when they don't have anything to gain from delaying, right?
Unless they're billing you by the hour and they find another excuse for another billing period.
That's what I'm saying. The thing is, if it's a flat rate thing where they're, it's like this guy used to be my roommate, and they allow him the law firm a certain amount of money to advocate for his getting. So while he finally got Social Security, they say, okay, here's your monthly problems that will allow you to fall off the table. But it's supposed to go back 3 years. Oh, make that 2. And the judge vacated his previous order. And it's like, okay, but you're supposed to have paid this guy like tens of thousands of dollars that you should have paid him for the last 3 years.
Why do I get the distinct impression I just got dumped right in the middle of your legal wranglings down there in Georgia?
Well, all I'm saying is that law firm is going to get the same amount of money regardless of how long it takes, or how many billable hours they put in. It doesn't matter. They're going to get the same amount of chunk of change regardless. So it's one of those things where, like I said, if they have nothing to gain by dragging it
out,
it'll be straightforward. And, it's like it goes through and they fill out the forms and that's it. There's going to be legal fees, but that's not, I don't think it's going to, I don't know. I'm not in a position to know, because basically I finally got the answer I was asking for, how much more time, and that's what they told me. So, now it's just a waiting game. But anyway, I am planning on setting up a 508 church organization. I don't know if you ever heard of those.
No.
But basically it's like a 501c3 that has all the freedom of expression. So basically my ministry is going to go into, here's what the 501c's, if they tell you this, they might be in danger of losing their tax-exempt status, that they went to the government and asked permission for their right to exercise their freedom. Well, if I understand correctly, and I'm going to qualify that because I'm not an expert in this stuff, but if I understand correctly, basically you don't ask permission from the IRS to set up a 508. You notify them, I'm setting up a 508, just to let you know. So anyway, but I'm interested in how much it would cost to. How much is advertising for? I guess you have different packages.
This is stuff that I can answer your questions. If you just call the network, I'd be happy to talk to you.
Okay. So when's good for you?
Anytime. The best time is when I'm setting up the program and picking and choosing the news stories. Give me a call about 4 or 5 o'clock.
East Central time.
Central.
Okay. Well, right. I'll be in touch.
All right. Thank you.
Well,
I appreciate it, Mark. Thanks. Yeah, I don't know what all that was about. I don't know the basis of why lawyers are, well, why are lawyers into anything? Obviously to pay themselves. And we have litigious society now. Everybody likes to sue everybody. And a lot of this cropped out of the administrative state, Administrative Procedures Act. Many of the agencies you see were born out of the Administrative Procedures Act. It's all about administration. It's all about the agencies, and it's all about their power. Mike, I'm going to play this. I'm going to play Trump's declaration, pretty much of war, and like I said, sanctions, and these are going to be cruel and inhuman. He put it a different way, but sanctions are an act of war. It wasn't bad enough. We went in there and toppled their government in 1953, and they weren't happy about it since. But since they've been witnessing all the meddling and the killing going on in the Middle East in the name of the moral high ground and wars for Israel, well, this was Trump today on rescinding the nuclear deal that was actually done by Obama. The United States was a signatory along with three other countries, coalition countries, I might add, that were satisfied with the inspections, and Iran was not, I repeat, not building nuclear weapons. But the assertion from this administration is that they're real close. Okay. Mike, go ahead and play it.
Thank you very much. My fellow Americans, as President of the United States, my highest obligation is to ensure the safety and security of the American people. History has shown that the longer we ignore a threat, the more dangerous that threat becomes. For this reason, upon taking office, I've ordered a complete strategic review of our policy toward the rogue regime in Iran. That review is now complete. Today, I am announcing our strategy, along with several major steps we are taking to confront the Iranian regime's hostile actions and to ensure that Iran never, and I mean never, acquires a nuclear weapon. Our policy is based on a clear-eyed assessment of the Iranian dictatorship, its sponsorship of terrorism, and its continuing aggression in the Middle East and all around the world. Iran is under the control of a fanatical regime that seized power in 1979 and forced a proud people to submit to its extremist rule. This radical regime has raided the wealth of one of the world's oldest and most vibrant nations, and spread death, destruction, and chaos all around the globe. Beginning in 1979, agents of the Iranian regime illegally seized the U.S. Embassy in Tehran and held more than 60 Americans hostage during the 444 days of the crisis. The Iranian-backed terrorist group Hezbollah twice bombed our embassy in Lebanon, once in 1983 and again in 1984. Another Iranian-supported bombing killed 241 Americans, service members they were, in their barracks in Beirut in 1983. In 1996, the regime directed another bombing of American military housing in Saudi Arabia, murdering 19 Americans in cold blood. Iranian proxies provided training to operatives who were later involved in al-Qaeda's bombing of the American embassies in Kenya Tanzania, and 2 years later killing 224 people and wounding more than 4,000 others. The regime harbored high-level terrorists in the wake of the 9/11 attacks, including Osama bin Laden's son. In Iraq and Afghanistan, groups supported by Iran have killed hundreds of American military personnel. The Iranian dictatorship's aggression continues to this day. The regime remains the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism and provides assistance to Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, Hezbollah, Hamas, and other terrorist networks. It develops, deploys, and proliferates missiles that threaten American troops and our allies. It harasses American ships and threatens freedom of navigation in the Arabian Gulf and in the Red Sea. It imprisons Americans on false charges, and it launches cyber attacks against our critical infrastructure, financial system, and military. The United States is far from the only target of the Iranian dictatorship's long campaign of bloodshed. The regime violently suppresses its own citizens. It shot unarmed student protesters in the street during the Green Revolution. This regime has fueled sectarian violence in Iraq and vicious civil wars in Yemen and Syria. In Syria, the Iranian regime has supported the atrocities of Bashar al-Assad's regime and condoned Assad's use of chemical weapons against helpless civilians, including many, many children. Given the regime's murderous past and present, we should not take lightly its sinister vision for the future. The regime's two favorite chants are death to America and death to Israel. Realizing the gravity of the situation, the United States and the United Nations Security Council sought over many years to stop Iran's pursuit of nuclear weapons with a wide array of strong economic sanctions. But the previous administration lifted these sanctions just before what would have been the total collapse of the Iranian regime through the deeply controversial 2015 nuclear deal with Iran. This deal is known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, or JCPOA. As I have said many times, the Iran deal was one of the worst and most one-sided transactions the United States has ever entered into. The same mindset that produced this deal is responsible for years of terrible trade deals that have sacrificed so many millions of jobs in our country to the benefit of other countries. We need negotiators who will much more strongly represent America's interests. The nuclear deal threw Iran's dictatorship a political and economic lifeline, providing urgently needed relief from the intense domestic pressure the sanctions had created. It also gave the regime an immediate financial boost and over $100 billion its government could use to fund terrorism. The regime also received a massive cash settlement of $1.7 billion from the United States, a large portion of which was physically loaded onto an airplane and flown into Iran. Just imagine the sight of those huge piles of money being hauled off by the Iranians waiting at the airport for the cash. I wonder where all that money went. Worst of all, the deal allows Iran to continue developing certain elements of its nuclear program. And importantly, in just a few years, As key restrictions disappear, Iran can sprint towards a rapid nuclear weapons breakout. In other words, we got weak inspections in exchange for no more than a purely short-term and temporary delay in Iran's path to nuclear weapons. What is the purpose of a deal that, at best, only delays Iran's nuclear capability for a short period of time? This, as President of the United States, is unacceptable. In other countries, they think in terms of 100-year intervals, not just a few years at a time. The saddest part of the deal for the United States is that all of the money was paid up front, which is unheard of, rather than at the end of the deal when they have shown they've played by the rules. But what's done is done, and that's why we are where we are. The Iranian regime has committed multiple violations of the agreement. For example, on two separate occasions, they have exceeded the limit of 130 metric tons of heavy water. Until recently, the Iranian regime has also failed to meet our expectations in its operation of advanced centrifuges. The Iranian regime has also intimidated international inspectors into not using the full inspection authorities that the agreement calls for. Iranian officials and military leaders have repeatedly claimed they will not allow inspectors onto military sites, even though the international community suspects some of those sites were part of Iran's clandestine nuclear weapons program. There are also many people who believe that Iran is dealing with North Korea. I am going to instruct our intelligence agencies to do a thorough analysis and report back their findings beyond what they have already reviewed.
Okay, pause it. By its own term, right there. So now he's going to ask for some intelligence help to shore up the accusations that Mr. Trump made against Iran. He made a point here of pointing out 1979, and that's when the Iranian people had had enough of the Shah and basically threw him out on his ear, which was the right of the Iranian people. We're going to take top of the hour break here in a minute, but coming up in next hour, and get what Ron Paul says about Netanyahu and the neocons wanting war with Iran. And Russia came out and said that, look, this U.S. pressure on Iran has nothing to do with a nuclear deal. It's all about Israel's agenda. And by the way, is Israel at war with Syria? Well, Israel just recently launched airstrikes on the Syrian army position outside of Damascus. So they are bombing, taking aggressive actions against Syria. This is going to get pretty serious. It's going to be interesting to see how the Russians play into this, because the Russians are not going to allow what happened in Syria to happen to Iran. It's been one stumbling block. Otherwise, they've already would have had their seven failed countries in the Middle East. Let's take the break. Cab in New York, I see that you're on my caller screen. I'll take your call right after the top of the hour break. We'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it. I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-877-877.
928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVice.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.